What up? We got another week. We got episode 61.
And like you said, ain't no fun. It don't can't have none. That's where we're at right now, George. The stars have aligned.
Rhymed it right in there.
George, 2021. I think this is maybe our second podcast of the year, right?
I think it is.
Man, COVID's still here.
You still haven't caught it yet.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting in line patiently.
They probably gave you the vaccine when you got your knee done.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like when a movie comes out, right? Everybody rushes to the theaters to see it. I'd be like, no, I'm going to sit back. I'm going to relax. I'm going to let the expectations go down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll probably just wait to, you know, catch it at home, the movie or COVID. And then I'll just brew in my feelings at the house. Good. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good idea. That's a real good idea.
I mean, listen, no, I don't want to get COVID, but yeah, at the same time, it's just like, bro, like the thoughts that, you know, the way this thing is evolving, the way these different strains are coming out, and they're saying that even if you get the vaccine, there's, you know, they're not saying this is a fact, but I was, you know, hearing rumors. I think it was TMZ had mentioned it. A buddy, somebody had said something to me about it, and you might have to get like a every 6 months booster for your vaccine.
Oh, God, not me.
I'm like, wait a minute. So you get vaccinated and then you got to every 6 months boost it? Like that's just crazy.
Little boosty. Look, let's talk about something that matters. Cause
oh, okay. My bad.
Everybody been all over COVID. You ain't going to get it. You be fine. Conor McGregor let us all down. And when I say us, I'm talking about the Irish out there.
And not to be confused with Coffee McGregor, who, you know what I'm saying, as a brings us all up as a whole, you know, really elevates the people.
So Conor McGregor went down like Coffee McGregor's knee about 10 months ago. You know, this dude, I got to give it to him because he's really, he really is like Mayweather was good at pumping up his fights. And if you look at Mayweather's like last 5-6 fights, they weren't even worth a quarter of what they charged on pay-per-view, but everybody got it because, you know, he went from like the wonder kid to the dude you just wanted to see get knocked out. You don't really hate him, but you know what? 50-0, you kind of want to see somebody knock him out.
Just yeah, maybe it depends on if you're a big fan of him or not. Right.
So, but the dude could hype a fight. And I think McGregor, I don't think there's anything left in the UFC worth watching. And I don't want to say that because there are great fights. But to get a massive audience, if you're a business that shows these UFC fights, it there really isn't another name that could bring in the bodies like McGregor does.
Right. He's like that heralded. What was his name? Who was the guy? Who was the big redneck looking dude that was winning all them fights in the 2000s?
You talking about Big Country or Tank Abbott?
No. Him and Tito went at it. You know, he had the mohawk, handlebar mustache. Oh, not handlebar, but the...
I could see his face.
Yeah. Can't even think of his damn name. But Conor McGregor just reminds me of him in the sense that he was the poster child for UFC for so long.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And why can't I think of this dude's name?
It's in the notes to talk about, but you are older.
Yeah. I mean, I am a little bit older than you.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. But anyways, yeah, you know, when this somebody is the poster child, God, you know, you look at Conor McGregor and got humiliated by Nurmagomedov. Like, just, it was like watching a freshman wrestle a senior, you know, in high school. And you're like, yeah, that's a wrap. And he keeps getting these chances because, like you said, I think the UFC really hangs their hat on him for those pay-per-views and for that hype.
Yeah.
Because he's a marketing machine.
I Chuck Liddell's the dude we were talking about.
Thank you very much. And
I think Chuck was definitely quieter, but for some reason.
Oh, much quieter.
Yeah, he just wasn't much quieter. Now, His pocketbook might reflect that too, because McGregor, his loudness got him that if he would have never done the Mayweather deal, he wouldn't be seeing the coin he's got these days. Right. That wouldn't happen. I mean, Mayweather put him on another. He owes Mayweather a grip for that fight.
I agree.
And I still haven't seen it. I still didn't watch.
I didn't watch his fight last night. Did you actually watch the fight?
I did watch the fight. Mm. And
what'd you think about it?
I mean, it was real, but for some reason, I thought Conor was doing great. Dude was hitting him. He was landing punches and you know, they were trading a little bit, but he caught Conor with a left and I think stunned him. But what got me is all the training this dude's been through. He's a real fighter.
Yeah.
And when he got caught, he wasn't trying to wrap up. He was still trying to trade and he was already toast. And then dude, he said it after the fight, he goes, look, I'm dangerous with both hands. And it's true. He caught him with a left and finished him with a right hand square on the nose. And that's the one, when you see the meme going around this morning,
I still haven't even looked
where it says, oh, when the NyQuil kicks in and Connor's laying on the ground with the eyes closed. He did. He caught him flush on the nose while he was going down. And that was the one that closed the deal on him. So, but you know,
how about this Poirier kid? Was he, does he have a good ground game? Do you know?
Connor doesn't
want to be on the ground with anybody.
I don't think so. That's
the problem. You know what I mean?
He got taken down too, which is normally, you know, they talk about Connor's got a good defense for takedowns, but dude just shot him and flipped him.
Well, unless you're talking about Nurmagomedov.
Well, that
it was a clinic.
He happy that dude's out of the game. They talked about now we got a trilogy coming because I guess Connor beat this kid 2 or 3 years ago. And now I call them a kid. They're the same age. They're both 32 years old. I thought the
quote kid does look younger though.
He does.
His face. Yeah. He looks like he's in his 20s.
I think they're probably going to schedule some kind of third one. I would watch it because they were trading. It wasn't a boring fight. It wasn't like they were just dancing around hoping to God somebody threw a punch. They were trading. They were kicking. And that's the other thing. In the first fight, Connor hit this dude with a kick to the head and dropped him within like the first 20 seconds or something. Like he was super quick. So you never got to see this kid fight. At least I didn't. I never heard of him before. And then now they actually traded up, and this was ended in the second round. So dude was destroying Connor's front leg with they were calling it a cap kick or something like that. But it was
because it kicks the kneecap basically.
He kept kicking. He was either kicking the outside of the leg or he was kicking the inside of the leg. But when Connor got up off the ground and he went to go shake hands with his dude and like, yo, good fight and all that, he could barely stand.
Straight limping.
That's how bad.
Walking like me after skateboarding.
Yep.
Huh. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch this last night.
Is it because you were having a deep birthday party?
Well, no, I was scared because Dana White got on and threatened everybody that was going to illegally watch the fight. So I got scared.
Did he really?
He did. I didn't get scared, to be honest, but I saw some videos of him saying how he's going to start catching people for streaming the fight illegally. So it was pretty funny.
Is it? I've never even looked into streaming it illegally. Because if it's not...
Me neither, George. I don't know what you're talking about.
If it's not a fight with somebody I give a shit about, I'm not even interested. I don't even want to see it illegally. Right.
You don't even want to see it legally? No.
It's gotta be some, like there's so many and I'll say this, you and Los back in the PMG offices got me interested in UFC. I was diehard boxing before that.
I was too though. I was a huge boxing fan forever. Yeah. And then when UFC came around,
you and Los
talked. I told you, I watched UFC number 2, I think was the first one I watched. This is back in 99, 2000 or something like that.
I don't even know if I was alive yet.
I remember watching it and like, I felt like I was going to throw up for a minute, the way these dudes were just beating the shit out of each other. Cause that was when they didn't have the weight classes and it was like blood sport, right? Like you just work way up the ranks to the last fight. So people were just getting just trashed. Like, dude's 280 pounds just destroying 150 pound dudes and whatever. And obviously that was the Hoist Gracie era, but anyways. All right. Well, now that we're done, you know, talking about just the fight.
We talk about just your birthday. Ordered it. Let me, JD Gaff got you a pizza. Oh, just, here we just go.
The biceps. Look at these things.
Here we go. Y'all seen a balloon when it gets popped?
Peaking like Mount Charleston. And
it makes that whistling noise. It goes.
Peaking like Mount Charleston, my man. George, I celebrated my 46th birthday yesterday.
46?
Yeah, 46. You know, I'm glad you fell for the bait on that one, because
you said 47.
Yeah, so last year when I botched my knee and then COVID kicked in, I basically decided that I deserve a redo. It's like a red shirt. That was my red shirt on my birthdays. So I'm 46. I'm a red shirt 46 right now.
That's terrible.
Red shirt 46. God damn.
Yeah, I'm a red shirt this birthday. Hey, I didn't
what get they call a, that? They called a medical hardship. Yeah. I took this year off for a medical hardship.
I'll tell you right now, I didn't get to celebrate my birthday either. So guess what? I'm still 28. Take that.
Well, first of all, I don't even really be celebrating my birthday, right? I lay low on that shit.
I do. I don't put it. Yeah, on, I know you do. I don't put it online, but I do like.
I don't do that either.
I do like having parties with my friends, and then the worst part is if people start at the birthday party, people do start posting pictures and stuff because you're having fun playing games and stuff. Like we do all the hillbilly games with the bags and the die up and. Can jam and everything. And then,
I don't even know what one thing is that you just said, but keep going.
Now that your knee's better, come my birthday time, you're coming over. We're going to party. But I always get kind of a text a couple days later, be like, oh, I wasn't invited. I'm like, dude, there was 50 people here. If you don't know when my birthday is or you don't hit me up. Yeah. You don't give me a phone call.
Yeah. Like if you don't know my birthday, then you ain't rolling over. Yeah, period.
I haven't talked to you in 6 months, but you went to my birthday. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Listen, I don't care about attending nobody's birthday, not even yours, George.
Oh, you coming?
That's what she said. B, you know, yesterday, George, look, 47. Went and got some. You want to hear about my birthday story?
Yes. Everybody, 9 million people.
Got up in the morning. Got up in the morning, went grocery shopping. JD Gaff went with me, so spent an exorbitant amount of money on groceries. came home. I think I had breakfast or lunch, right? Real exciting shit here. Real riveting.
That sounds amazing.
Then, we went to Cetabella. Got the old gluten-free pizza, like I always
dropping,
do.
Dropping, name dropping, balling.
And then, then came home. That was it, man. I think I was asleep by like 9:45 last night.
Man.
So it's tough when you're 46 on the redo.
Let me tell you, I rage. That's how you ring in another year. As they say, another trip around the sun.
I have been to one of your birthday parties and you indeed were raging.
Damn right. Ladies going crazy because my shirt's off.
I saw them leaving. I don't know about the going crazy
part. All the kids peeing in the pool. You know how it is.
Well, if you guys, really want to wish me a happy birthday, don't bother tweeting. Just go ahead and send digital gift certificates to happybirthday@justthedrip.com and I'll be sure to use them and give you a shout out.
Amazon gift cards.
You can view Greg's my wish list is up. It's on my OnlyFans. Hold up. OnlyFans/CoffeeMcGregor.
I love it. I love it. You got pictures
of
you.
I might start that.
You got pictures of you on your rower and shit. Oh, JD Gaff.
Well, I told you. JD Gaff. I told you I've been wanting to redo the Tupac picture where he's in the tub with gold chains on. Just fill it with coffee. Just get mad donations.
Who's snapping that photo?
That's easy. You.
I'm wearing an eye patch or something. I can't take all that in. I wanted to bring up this new spot. I ain't never been here before. This is not a paid promotion for this lunch spot, but I wanted to point out the differences in people that know how to make coffee and people who may not understand what they got in the works. Got to go to this new spot. It's in the Wynn, but it's in the Wynn shops. And when I say it's in the Wynn shops, it's in the shops that you and I were never going to shop at because everything starts above $1,500. They got a Balmain store.
I usually, when I go shopping, my wallet usually stops at about $15.
Yeah. So we're never shopping. Remember that Earth Cafe we was trying to go to that day? Because Earth Cafe actually has pretty, I think they have pretty good coffee.
It's from the Earth. But I like it.
It's URTH, not.
Yes.
Yeah. It's spelled different. So
this is a fact.
So below that is this, the only way I can describe it is kind of an Italian bistro. I don't even know if that's the right thing, but it's a really cool lunch spot. I dig all the interiors. I think it has something to do with Cindy Crawford because they've got two pretty good size blown up Cindy Crawford photos in there.
Are you serious? Do they really need to put Cindy Crawford's photo up though, even if she owns it?
When I say big photo, if you're measuring from top to bottom, the photo is probably 12 feet.
That's ridiculous. I don't care.
You wouldn't know it was her unless you knew that birthmark on her face. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think that's Cindy Crawford. And you look closer, it does say Cindy Crawford on it. But let me tell you, this restaurant serves Lavazza.
This is for Lavazza.
Exactly. We've talked about this. Now there's another little Italian spot in town. It's not on the strip. It's not in a hotel. It's called Roma Deli. They also serve Lavazza. And I've made these comments before when I'm out with people at lunch and you after lunch is over, you order a coffee, you kind of rewind in, you're shooting the shit, all that. Roma Deli's coffee, you can barely touch the cup. It's boiling hot coffee in there. It's almost undrinkable because it's too hot, but it's also brewed at a temperature that I swear to God should not ever be done.
So the coffee's just over extracted at that point.
It's just blown out. And it's hard. You have to cut it with some cream because you can't drink it black. Now, at Cipriani, however they're doing it in the back, I doubt it's a pour over or anything like that. But they do serve it at the table with these little coffee crafts. Little porcelain or something like that.
Right.
The heat is spot on and the taste is like no other Lavazza I've had because it's not made by the kitchen crew or who maybe they really don't give a shit about coffee.
It's not just sitting in that giant bun heater, whatever thing.
No. So, I always, everywhere we go, we have coffee. I do a little smell test. I do a little taste test. And then if it's like real harsh, I'll cut it a little bit with cream. I don't ever add sugar cause I don't like it sweet. And I took a sip. I was like, this is really good. Actually ordered another little carafe of their coffee because I was sharing it with somebody else. And delicious. Delicious. So I ain't going to talk shit about Lavazza because the shade part should not be put on their brand as much as it should be put on how they're making it.
On the preparation.
And if I'm, I mean, maybe Lavazza probably doesn't care. Look, just order our shit.
They don't care, but sure.
But I tell you what, the process of making it definitely changes flavors on this bad boy here. And we've talked about
George shooting some bail. I appreciate that. I respect that
before. Now I will not bail out Starbucks at all. Cause hot, cold, boiling still tastes like shit. So there's that. There is
damn, that, bro. You just starting off 2021 like you don't give a shit.
You know, I gotta let these people know. I can't just keep putting everything down. I got to give new tries to these places.
That's a fact. Okay, I'll give you that.
Last little bit of something here. I ordered a humidor off Amazon a little bit ago, and I know I've talked about cigars a couple times here, but I like cigars with my coffee, so it kind of goes with us talking about coffee. And I know, I was having a hell of a time. This thing would not stay sealed. The little dial jobber that shows the the humidity. Mm-hmm. whatever the little dial is, that thing was not sealed properly. I could tap it and it fell right out of the humidor. So I did a little work. I sealed it up. I made sure it made a really good seal. Nothing was getting out of there. I got this new stuff off Amazon. It's supposed to be like it's distilled water, but it's not supposed to evaporate as quickly or something like that. So you wipe it down, do all the thing. And then I got these Bovita packs. You're supposed to let this, what's that?
You bought the distilled water off of Amazon?
Yeah, it's funky. It's actually for humidors. And it's okay. Some kind of solution.
Got it.
That stays moist longer. So I wiped it all down, did all that stuff, and then there's this other thing in cigar world called Bovita. And it's these little packets with water and salt. And it dispels moisture for about 2 to 3 months, as long as it's not exposed to open air. And put some of those packs in there. I watched a couple of videos on how to do it. So I've had this bad boy sealed because they say it's supposed to stay closed in this function with the packs in it for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. This bad boy has been pegged at 70%.
I don't know what that means.
The RH level. You're supposed to keep cigars between.
Yeah, like but like, 60. So like, oh, 60 and what? 80?
65 and like 72. 72 okay. or 75, something like that. In that 10, you're good. Your cigars are going to be all fine. Right. They're going to last forever. You can age them or whatever the hell you want to do. So this thing's been pegged. So no leaks. It's definitely not leaking out. So I'm hoping after 2 weeks, they call it seasoning for those out there that, know what they're talking about. I'm new, so I'm
trying to figure it out. They don't know what they're talking about. You think anybody in an audience is smoking cigars, George?
Yes. If we got 9 million listeners.
Our audience, they smoke like meth. Cigarettes.
Large portion of our audience up in Central Michigan. I'm assuming probably right around where
they smoking meth in Central Michigan. I mean, I'm sure they're smoking meth anywhere, but
isn't that where the lotto ticket hit? Oh man, everybody getting meth.
Yeah. Meth on me.
I got money for rocks. So next Saturday is 2 weeks. I get to open her up, check it out. Look at all that stuff, but I'm excited because I've been keeping everything kind of a Tupperware sealed thing with some packs in there. So finally get to use this thing I bought.
Well, this ain't just the smoke, so relax a little bit on that shit.
Well, hey, I do enjoy a cappuccino, a latte, or just some straight up coffee in the morning.
Was that a 21 Savage rhyme?
A lot.
How much coffee you got?
A latte. A latte.
we should do the remix.
I'm laughing because there was a news anchor on, I think it was MSNBC, who was talking about, you know how 21 Savage almost got deported? Because I didn't know he was born overseas. And this dude was talking about 21 Savage and Donald Trump. And he's like, How many lawyers you got? A lot.
I saw that. That's right.
Dude, it was just awkward because the way the guy was saying it was the corniest shit in the world, but whatever.
But it was kind of fire though. He was bodying it for journalists.
He was. They should have fired his ass right after.
Uh-oh. George, that's cancel culture. You can't do that.
Everybody doing it.
We're canceling cancel culture. You know what? I'm bringing it back. I'm bringing back cancel culture.
Georgia canceling.
But I'm going to cancel on like Georgia canceled for 1 week.
I
don't want to see or hear from you for fucking 1 week, bro. Well,
that's fine. I'll be back here on Sunday.
That's cool. That's why I said 1 week because we got to do the next episode.
Good.
George, real quick question.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to Vesta the other day?
I do remember.
No big deal. Paparazzi outside. They saw just the drip was there.
True.
I remember I was like, yeah, what's up with the seating in here? Like they gutted the chairs at the bar. I think they had the rate. So this is what doesn't make sense to me. And I get it, right? So it's to what, 25% capacity is what they do now?
Yeah.
When did that happen, the 25% capacity? Because I'm going to blow the whistle with some people.
December 12th.
All right. Thank you. So when you and I were in Vesta, all they had was seating along that window, the front window, the high railing seating.
Yeah.
So you could sit. Those stools weren't 6 feet apart. You could sit next to anybody at that high rail seating along the window there. And then obviously outside they had tables, et cetera. excuse me. So I had to ask you that the other day. I was like, God, this is crazy. What's up with all the seats? You're like, oh, it's the 25% rule because of COVID. I was like, oh, okay. Jody and I stopped by Publicus last weekend. I just realized this. There ain't not a single chair pulled off the floor there, bro.
I love that.
That joint was packed to the gills. We just went in, got some coffee to go and bounced.
Yeah.
But it was packed to the gills inside. There was no every other table or 25% rule. And then last night we went to dinner and they were like, you know, how many in your party, whatever, you know, like five. Like, all right, yeah, we gotta seat you guys at separate
tables. One person has to sit at their own table.
That's what I said. I said, Carrie, you're the youngest. You got to sit at your own table.
Go wait in the car.
But then, go wait in the car with the dog. But then how come some restaurants have like a six-person table limit? Others have a four-person table limit. I can't figure out what's the rules.
If they're doing and six.
I'm feeling stupid.
They're against the rules.
Okay. What about Public Us? If they're doing no 25% seating.
I think
they're against the rules.
I think there is a population of businesses in town who are like, look, if we can't make money, we're closing our doors. We don't give a shit. So I guess
I get that. I mean,
yeah, whatever that is, I don't know, but it whatever, you know,
all right. Well, off the COVID, yourself. I decided to bring that up. I decided to bring that up as a question.
No,
I can't see, it was different when everything first kicked off and I was like, you know, everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, I guess, you know, this is what it is. But now it's like, no matter where I go, it's just different. It's just different.
I can tell you that in certain establishments, the health department or licensing has said you have to seat people every other booth. And yes. There is a restaurant right next door that seats every single booth. So
yeah, I don't.
There is no rhyme or reason to this.
And like the grocery stores, I go to the grocery store packed. There's no line outside for X. Actually, Trader Joe's does the line. That's the one
they're
store
small.
I see.
They're pretty small though, right?
They are small and they will limit. But like, bro, I'll go into Smith's and end up being in a line that is seven carts long, bro.
Three's a crowd.
And there's I wish. And there's literally 10 registers open, right? And they're just jam-packed with a line. So that's all. I'm just saying, I don't understand what I don't know what stage we're at.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm getting confused now.
Well, if we're back in this, I'm saying we're at the stage where you can't limit it anymore. Wear the mask. Try to stay away from people. And I would like to believe at this point, and I think it's you that told me the story where the person came to work. Yeah, it was you that said it. They didn't have any protocol where, hey, you got a little cough or you got a little sniffle or your significant other actually tested positive. Don't come to work. I mean, that's just to me, that's common sense. But I'll go a step further I remember it was last December. It was Sunday night. I had a fever. I did not go to work on Monday. I went straight to CVS to them. They got this minute clinic thing. I said, look, I got this weird fever. Don't know what it is. I was fine across the board. No sniffles, no coughs, no nothing. I just had a weird fever. I didn't know if I had an ear infection or what. Turns out she ran this little test. She said I had the flu. She's like, yeah, you should probably stay.
When was this? The other night?
No, last December.
Oh,
like
last
right
December.
Before Christmas, last December.
Got it.
So I called up and I said, hey, I'm not going to be in. You know, I had a little fever, went and got checked out. This, they said what I had. So That's what you're supposed to do. If COVID never happened, that's still what you're supposed to do.
Still what you're supposed to do. I never understood that.
Don't bring
that
shit. Don't be
around. Don't be coughing at my desk.
So because I have Thor's blood and things really don't affect me, I had a little bitty fever, right? A little bit of sweats.
Obviously, it does affect you. You got the flu.
Yeah, but I didn't feel it. I could have gone to work.
It doesn't matter. You still got it.
I could have gone to work. I wasn't on my deathbed. I wasn't having hallucination dreams. I wasn't doing none of that. But I did my part so that it didn't spread through my office. I was helping out others. That's okay. What it's all about, Greg.
I can't talk about this shitty blood of yours anymore.
That's what it's about. George.
Speaking of blood.
What a blood.
We're going with Pyrooster.
Oh, that would have been a dope name.
Yeah, would have been. See, we could just slang these beans, fam. So this week's coffee, Red Rooster Coffee, George. You picked up the tab this week. I'll let you do the honors here. I'm prepped. I'm ready. My cup is poured. It's cooled down, room temperature. Bag on deck. Tell me all about it.
I curated this coffee from...
Okay, stop. Time out. I was watching some shit the other day. Somebody's like, I've been curating. I said, if one more... There's two phrases I cannot hear anymore. One is narrative and the other one is curate. Well, everybody's Greg, a goddamn curator. I swear to God.
I put together this extensive list of coffees and I shared it with you. And... So I went ahead and picked the coffee from that list. And
you know this, what? I'm going to put a curated list out now.
Okay. You already,
this well, curate, I hope we're going to, you're going to curate.
I hope you do. I'll share mine with you and maybe you can take off anything you've already found.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
This week's coffee is from Red Rooster Coffee. And I picked this one out of all of their other coffees because it had a 92-point score in the coffee review from 2020. So I thought, hey, that sounds pretty cool. This is a coffee from El Salvador, Las Duanas. The region is a lot of peck. I'm sure that's not pronounced correctly.
It is how much peck you got? A lot.
It's in the Metapan mountain range in El Salvador. And the producer is Enrique Mena Gutierrez in the Finca Las Duanas. That's the farm, the Las Duanas farm. Now that we're bilingual on the show, so we understand all these different terminologies. It is a wash process. It's a light roast. The variety or varietal is a Pacamara. Sounds like a Porsche, but I don't think
you're driving that. Not,
yeah. This variety of this coffee is a Porsche Pacamara.
Oh my God. I like
this. This is going to frustrate a lot of the audience. There are no Maisels listed online, and dang it. If you're going to have a coffee farm, if you're going to be a roaster, these are the informations that the public wants, and they're not. And I even tried to look up the Finca Las Duanas, the farm, just to see if like the farm was listed online somewhere. Couldn't find anything.
Right. You get like those farm Maisels. I see. Yeah. That's smart. So
at least it would tell me, okay, well, this farm is located at, you know, 1600 or 1800, whatever it is. Couldn't find it. So no Maisels this week. Sorry. Tasting notes are a floral aroma with notes of dark chocolate, almond, and key lime pie. That's the second reason why I picked this coffee, because I love key lime pie. It is delicious.
Okay.
I don't like it with whipped cream, by the way. I'm not a fan of that.
That's savage. That's
no
savage.
No one in this house likes whipped cream.
On anything?
On anything.
Y'all are a weird bunch.
I'm telling you right now, I remember Nolan used to get like hot chocolate or something and they put whipped cream on it. You have to tell him ahead of time, no whip.
Nolan send it back.
He would take that whole spoon and go.
He go full Karen?
Yeah. Terrible. You could pick up this bag of coffee for $22.99, 12 ounces, 340 grams. With this purchase, you could have done a $10 meal donation, and they donate a meal to somewhere. I probably should have read more about this. I just clicked it, you know, just a drip helped out and donated a meal to families at a local food bank. That's what they're doing.
Okay.
So,
well, shout out to you, George, for doing that. Thank you. Well,
just a drip. So you don't have to.
Actually, just the drip did it. So you should too.
Yeah. We also, there's some kind of thing they got going on where, a private donor is now offering to match your gift up to $50,000 to Plenty Food Pantry. So some of the food banks might get hooked up with this. So we're doing
Somebody is balling out in Floyd, Virginia.
Yeah. Somebody doing big things.
Okay.
Getting into this coffee, Gregor, with the G grade notes, open up the bag, smelling the beans. I kind of got I didn't get floral, even though it says floral in the tasting notes. I got kind of a sweet, like a toffee.
And yes.
Not coffee, toffee with a T.
Toffee coming out.
Yeah. That's the smell I got out of the bag. The beans smell terrific, but there's definitely that sweetness in there. Did my brew setup. Everybody knows we got 16 on the skinny tires. 57 grams of coffee for 900 grams of water. Right out of the thing, you know, most of these coffees, I think this is just a coffee thing. It's got a piney, foresty smell. A lot of times.
You might need to go get that nose checked out. I don't know with everything being always piney and foresty for it's, you.
I'm telling you, right after the brew, that's what I get on most of the coffees. I don't get it out of the cup.
That's because you're born and raised in Portland.
It might be. Now, pouring it.
Antifa.
It's got a hint of patchouli.
It's got a hint of tear gas.
What is that, bear spray? So, first taste, it's got a good mouth coating. I guess you could say mouth feel, but I ain't saying that. I'll let you say that.
Syrupy. It is a thicker body. It's syrupy.
A little viscous, not like syrup, but it definitely coats.
Check us out at thesaurus at justthedrip.com. we'll send you the weekly coffee phrase.
You do get a little bit of dark chocolate and a little sweetness on the end. Being a key lime pie connoisseur that I am, you don't taste any of that. And on the cool down, even when some more of those maybe sweeter notes come out, I'm not even getting citrus on this. So I'm assuming they said key lime pie because that's the citrus note they think comes out in this. And that's cool if that's what they taste. I'm not getting a citrus note on this. Little, like I said, a little bit of sweet, kind of a dark chocolate, not bitterness, because the coffee's not bitter to me, but you can kind of get that little bite from the dark chocolate. I got floral.
The chocolate is definitely present. Here we go, being nice and generic at the same time, trying to play it safe. I think it's a great coffee. It's a coffee that if you gave it to me and you didn't give me the tasting notes, I wouldn't feel as prejudiced against it. I think again, like I'm with you on kind of the same notes here. I'm not getting a specific lime. I am getting an acidity, but it's definitely for me. It's not a lime, much less a key lime pie type of flavor. That being said, I guess I could say there's kind of a flatter note that would be reminiscent of a pastry. You know, maybe like a pie crust, right? You know, those tend to be more for texture rather than flavor. But other than that, it's definitely chocolate. I think it is slightly floral to the nose once brewed, not necessarily out of the bag. But almond is, I think, is what I would have to say, I think, is the larger missing note here. And I would say that because I think we had, it was probably 6 or 7 coffees ago. What was the, what was that tasting note? It was,
It was some kind of, it wasn't macadamia nut. It was something else.
What's it? Not marzipan, but it was something that was almond. What is it you make with almonds? Anyways,
pecans?
No, it's almond. It was almond, but I can't remember exactly what, but it had like that almond extract flavor to it, kind of a raw almond, not even like baked yet, just a raw almond flavor to it. This, I don't think I get any type of almond or nuttiness going on at all. But I would give it a 50, you know, out of, you know, 50% out of what it's saying it's batting on these, tasting notes. And to be fair, also, this is my first brew with this. I didn't sit with it. I didn't do, you know, 2 or 3 brews before to try to dial anything in and maybe try to bring more out of it. So maybe I'll get more on a different ratio brew or, with the AeroPress later, as I always like to do. But again, not necessarily being negative, I think this is an awesome coffee. I think it's delicious. It's fantastic. I just don't think it hits those notes. That's all.
Yeah. I was, if you're going to put key lime pie, man, I better get some key limes. Yeah.
And you, I know we keep talking about that so specifically on a lot of these coffees. When you set that bar high with these specifics, instead of like saying, you know, even just like you just said, you weren't even really getting a citrus, but if they said citrus, it might be like, oh yeah, it's kind of the acidity, I guess it could be citrus. But when you dial into key lime pie, then you're like, wait a minute. So I think that does put some people off, especially picky people, I guess, like we are. I'm not mad at the coffee. I wouldn't say it hits these tasting notes. That being said, hey, my palate is my palate.
Yeah. Damn right.
And your mom's palate is her palate. I'm not going to say anything about that.
It sure is. What do you think about this bag, Gregor?
You know what? I wanted to hate it. And I'll tell you why I wanted to hate it. Because it's that recycled, very kind of almost transparent, papery. However, I think they did an amazing job with making this bag a custom bag by using a sticker on the front with the varietal that it is. But then also at the same time having a lot of, you know, I guess you would say blank bag features that are printed on here. Like the side panels are beautiful. Yep. The back kind of gives you more information about what they do and how they're a fair trade roaster. And let's hit some of those points right now. The bag itself, it says it is made from 99% plant-based renewable resources and is 60% compostable. I'm assuming you probably need to remove some of the plastic liner and stuff like that to compost it. I don't compost, but if I did, that's a great feature there. On the back, they say they promote sustainability and take care of farmers and workers. They pay high premiums to farmers for great coffees. They source organic, fair trade, or 100% transparent and direct trade coffees. They give money to social programs and infrastructure improvements at origin. Probably something, you know, it falls along the lines of what you did with the food bank donation. Biodegradable coffee bags and paper products. And they provide benefits and on-site child care services to their employees. Honestly, that's some pretty badass list right there.
They're doing some stuff here.
They are doing some stuff. And, you know, I think that the fact that it's great for everybody, not just employees, not just vendors or suppliers but, you know, also customers as well. And then, you know, on the other side panel, we come back over here. It just kind of gives you their social media, but also gives you a list of their accomplishments. Award-winning coffee roasted daily. Good Food Award 2020, 2019, and 2017. And America's Best Cold Brew at Coffee Fest, which I don't know where that is, but I need to be there.
I know.
Their Best Espresso. Golden Bean, Silver, and Bronze. Over 50, 90-plus rated coffees on Coffee Review.
That's a lot of awards. We've talked about the Good Food Award before. And sounds like these dudes are people They win it every couple of years. I mean, 2020, which is crazy because winning an award in 2020, I mean, that, I guess all you got to do is all you have time to do is review coffee and talk about it because you can't do anything else.
Fact.
I agree with you on everything on the bag. I think it, I love the effort put into the printing on this bag, but I wanted to point out that if you look at the early, early artwork on the posters for Star Wars, when I look at this particular bag, it, to me, it has that, that kind of design of the mountains. I think I made a joke in here, like the moon of Endor and mountains and stuff. If you look at the real early pictures, I swear it has that vibe because it's there's a term for this. It's not halftoning, but the like it's got you got the line work and then you kind of laid over the colors on it. So I get I got that vibe from the bag.
It's kind of a silk screen.
Yeah,
the way it looks. So,
thought it was kind of cool. And then you know
I never would have drawn that parallel, George.
Well, I did because I'm seasoned, cultured individual. Boy. Those that know me, world traveler. So, been everywhere, done some things. So, yeah, it stood out to me. I saw Star Wars, and that's what I thought.
Well, guys, there you have it from our non-Star Wars aficionado, but I respect that, and I disrespect it, too, because I just don't know where the hell you got Moon of Endor from this volcanic-looking mountain. That, on this artwork.
Peep it. Go back and watch. Go back and watch it. Okay. Ewoks in the Battle of Endor. Great movie. Phenomenal movie.
And all right.
I do believe Drew Barrymore was a youngster and she was the star of that movie. You don't think
was
so?
Was it a movie were you talking about the TV special?
Nah, it was a movie. Ewoks.
But it was a TV special, or was it? Did it air on HBO? What are you talking about?
I had it. I had this on VHS.
Okay, that's cool. But where did it play?
I'm telling you, it was a movie. Oh, damn! It was a television. Wait, what? And it was 1985.
The first Ewok TV movie. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, once again, guys, I'm correct. I'm right. George tried to take it there. I had to bring it back.
No, you ain't.
I had to bring it back. It's okay, though.
For Emily. Was it? Who was the little girl? I swear it was. What's her face?
Aubrey Miller is the only name I'm seeing. Listen, George, people didn't tune in for this.
I know. I saw it later because this came out in 85, so I wasn't around back then.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So there's that.
If you guys want to check out Red Rooster Coffee, make sure you visit them. Make sure you visit them at, I think it's redroostercoffee.com.
Yeah.
Yes. Redroostercoffee.com. They're located in Floyd, or you can check them out on Instagram, Red Rooster Coffee Roaster, Facebook, Red Rooster Coffee. And Twitter, Red Rooster CR. They're in Floyd, Virginia, 823 East Main Street. I looked it up on a map. It's about 40 minutes south of Blacksburg, Virginia. So if you're in any of those neighborhoods, go check them out.
Yeah, and be careful in Virginia because the people out there can be sketchy.
Virginia?
Yeah, I know one, and he's very sketchy.
Well, that's the opposite side of the state, but yeah, I get that.
You ready for some news?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is the news.
No, let's talk more shit about Virginia. Of course I'm ready for some news, George. Let's get into this.
Well, this pandemic erased nearly a quarter of U.S. coffee shops across America. Obviously, that would be U.S. coffee shops. Now,
that's actually really crazy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, if you are a mom and pop coffee shop, you there's a good chance if you made it through this, you either had a nice little nest egg of money to get past this, or you had some good drive up business. Maybe you had a drive through or something like that. I don't know. What stood out to me, what stood out to me in this article was the report, which notes that Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts locations comprise an astonishing 66% of total U.S. coffee shop market by number of stores.
Jeez.
Also suggests that the COVID-19 pandemic has increased consumer preference for drive-through locations and increased digital integration, both of which run contrary to the quaint concept of coffee shops being community gathering spaces or third places. 66%. So whatever's left over is people like you and I saying, oh, you know what? I think we're going to open up a little mom and pop shop. We're going to source our beans, do all our roasting and all that stuff. That's insane. And it, this makes sense, you know, why people say they got to have their Dunkin' or they got to have their, you know, Starbucks chocolate shake. That's a massive hold on the coffee shop market in America.
Yeah, that is.
I was blown away by that number.
That is. And I think, you know, what you just said there near the end of that, well, when people are like, you know, got to have my Dunkin', got to get my Frappuccino. You know, the ability of those larger brands to create these household names around there and slogans around their products that people feel like that's where they have to go every time, you know, whether it's their daily commute or routine or they travel, you know, and there's a reason why there's a Starbucks in every airport and all that. That really does put a heavier burden on the mom and pop or smaller chains to stay afloat during this. Six, you know, if a quarter of a conglomerate's shops close, you know, you're talking about maybe now. And don't get me wrong, but if you have 100 shops, you know, you lose 25. That sucks. But if you have two shops.
Yeah.
One of them joints is probably going to close, if not both. You don't have that capital. You know, you're really struggling on that overhead, and you know you're not getting cut the same real estate deals and those types of things. You know, a Starbucks is the type of store that's considered an anchor for a shopping center,
right?
You know, they're going to be a draw right up there with, you know, something that is a necessity like a grocery store would be, or a superstore like a Walmart or a Target. So, yeah, man, that's a rough go. It actually makes me kind of happy. I never really had the money to have started a coffee shop, because I probably would have done that, like, you know, 2 or 3 years ago if I did, and then would be on my ass right now.
Yeah,
but then again, I wouldn't be, because, you know, people listen to the podcast; they show up.
Believe it. Gregor, we got an opportunity here.
Oh, we do.
What's going on? Opportunity. California Coffee Farm Valley Heart Ranch listed for $14.9 million. Let's go halves.
Let me hit my financial advisor real quick. See if I can get that money out by Tuesday.
We're changing the name of this because I don't like Valley Heart. I think that's a terrible name. This is going to be the JTD Ranch.
Yes.
Okay. We stay dripping, stay sipping. Get out of my face. That's what this is. That's going to be the slogan right above the ranch.
Can we talk about this for a second, though?
Yes.
That's
what we do on a podcast.
That's a good point. Why do you think this ranch is for sale?
Probably because it's in California.
California, global warming, droughts all over California. I don't see there being much of a promising future farming coffee outside like this in California.
I looked through this article and I didn't. I saw the square footage of the space. But they don't talk about the most important piece that people have come to love this podcast for is what are the mazels of this farm? Because unless this is in the Northern California, which I assume maybe it is. I don't
it's
see
Montecito, it. It's Montecito, California. I'm looking it up right now.
So where's that? Where is that in relation to everywhere?
It's probably middle-ish, like wine country. Let's see here.
But we ain't.
It's actually pretty low. It's down here by Santa Barbara.
Okay. So that now we're talking about that Mazel game. Where you know.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very
you want to count.
That doesn't sound very high.
Exactly. Probably close to sea level. So I'm assuming, you know, we're affecting some stuff here. But for the bargain basement price of $14.9, we could probably talk them, you know, get in there, sit down, start throwing some numbers around, maybe get them down to like 12 or maybe an even 10 million.
Oh, I was and hoping then, you're going to say 1,000.
No, then you and I be like, okay, look, maybe we split it 5 and 5 and then we start going to town on this place. So
I just don't think we're going to get our return on investment here. I think this is definitely selling for a reason. And it has a lot to do probably with the fact that they're already having a hard time growing grapes in the cooler climates of California. So I don't see coffee lasting too long, where it may be in California here.
Yeah. I'm kind of wondering, I mean, maybe it's just my ignorance. I didn't even know they were doing coffee in California, but okay.
I think it was way, way back. It was a couple of years ago when we first started the podcast. We talked about a place where they were growing coffee indoors, you know, kind of like weed, kind of like you
like grow hydroponics?
Weed in your basement. Yeah. They're growing it indoors in California. So, yeah, I did not know there was wild coffee farm out there in California. So big ups to them. If you guys want to help fund this venture of ours, just minimum investment of $1 million per person. Just go ahead.
We only need 15.
Exactly.
If 15 people donate $1 million, JTD Farms is born. We're going to go ahead and
it'll be like the Mike 25. Tyson Ranch. You can come. You can stay there.
Yep.
We're going to provide 6 courses of coffee throughout the day.
You'll be hydrated.
Hydrated.
Colon's going to be cleansed.
Probably catch COVID.
Oh, no. It's COVID free, baby. We're outdoors.
George, what's this next story?
Next story. Swedish. Look, I think it says Lofbergs.
It does. It does say
Swedish like roaster Lofbergs unveils coffee station made of chaff. Now, we've talked about this chaff, not Shaft, the movie.
Oh, chaff. I love that movie.
They talked about when you're roasting all this coffee, and I got to imagine this is a great deal of roasted coffee. The first crack where the shaft comes off, or when you grind the coffee, that light colored brown material, right?
Yep.
That's the shaft.
That papery.
Yeah. Most of the stuff where if there's static left after the grind process, it sticks to the sides.
A lot of it is the chaff. Yeah.
They're doing this compression method with this leftover shaft, and they go into some detail to create the 3D printed Lofbergs coffee station. Sculptor created a blend of polypropylene mixed with coffee shaft collected by Lofbergs during the roasting process.
Okay.
Lofbergs is currently inventing other coffee companies or related parties to join the circular coffee community effort for further development of such products and other waste reduction
circular
strategies.
Circular coffee community. What an interesting name. Okay.
Yeah. The CCC or the C3. We already went over that. There's already a C3. This is, that's a lot of shaft. I guess instead of throwing it in the trash there, I thought you said that polypropylene stuff was pretty bad. Isn't that what they put in vapes oils?
No, that's the what's the stuff that's in antifreeze and all that stuff? It's the same thing. I don't think it's polypropylene. Yeah, that's what it is. It's the
glycol.
It's the I can't remember the name of it now.
I can't.
So what happens? This is what happens when you turn 47.
You ain't lying. Even with a red shirt.
You know, I think this is a great idea. I wonder what the cost is, right? What the offsetting cost is to do this. Anytime there's any type of plant waste that just really gets discarded on Moss, you end up with environmental situations, kind of like, you know, down like in southern Florida where they have the sugar cane, and then they like get the sugar extracted and then they throw the hulls and the stems and sticks and the husks and all that and back into the water, and it creates this really acidic environment, right? And then the acidic environment, it kills a lot of the life in the water, and then you have huge red algae blooms, which then, you know, cause more issues in the water and things like that. So I think it is important to find something to do with waste product, these organic materials also. It's not just obviously chemical waste, but these organic materials, how do we manage this? This seems really involved. I think my only question is, okay, so you made a coffee station, but what's a coffee station? It's a place in a store in Sweden where you can stop and fill up your coffee, like a 7-Eleven.
That's what I clicked on the picture. I mean, it looks like a desk.
Right. I mean, it's cool looking, right? Yeah, maybe we could get more into what's the durability of it, right? Can we just start making furniture out of this, or is it just coffee station?
I think this binding agent, whatever this polypropylene stuff is.
It's a plastic, if I'm not mistaken, really.
In the shaft piece is probably some kind of, you know, carbon whatever. And you just press it together real hard in a mold. Boom, you got a desk.
There you go.
I think that's what this is.
Well, I'm all for limiting waste, and if we can repurpose things and be a part of this circular coffee community, which says, which has a pledge of 100% circular, zero coffee waste by 2030. So
here's my next question. Once you make this desk, so they added this polypropylene stuff, and you make this desk out of the chaff. When they close this store, because according to the last article we read, these little coffee shops closed at an alarming rate across America. How biodegradable is this coffee station in its current form?
That's a great question. It probably isn't, and they probably just throw it in the landfill.
Oh, good, good. All right. Hey, at least you reused it once.
Yeah, exactly. You got something out of it before you trashed it.
I love it.
Snaps. Greg, it's my
Greg
turn.
Found something.
I did. Actually, you know, George, I did a little research today. Your morning coffee hydrates you almost as well as water. I really like this article. I didn't pull any quotes out of it because it's a really basic article that had a lot of fluff to try to make it seem like it was, you know, a 3-minute read.
I love the first paragraph is awesome.
I don't even remember what it did say.
It gives you energy. It makes you poop.
Oh, yeah. Why people are so obsessed with coffee making you sit on the toilet. I don't really get that, but it says it's only a mild diuretic. It's not like everybody tries to make it out like, oh, if you drink coffee, you're going to piss and be dehydrated. It's almost as hydrating as water. And obviously when it comes to your coffee drinks, the drinks that have the most water are the most hydrating. So if you get a regular cup of brewed coffee, it's probably like, you know, 99%, 98% water. I don't know. I'm making up that number, but your coffee is going to be mostly water.
Sounds scientific.
If you have espresso, like a shot of espresso, obviously that's going to be less hydrating because there is a less of a water ratio in there, right? It says in here that a black decaf iced coffee would be the most hydrating drink. Obviously, because it's decaf, it's going to have a way, way, way less diuretic effect. And then since it's iced or a cold brew, rather, it's going to be, you know, a lot more water there. And then you have the ice cubes in it that probably melt and all that, which even makes the ratio even higher. So don't let anybody tell you that because you drink coffee, you drink a lot of coffee, now you are dehydrated. It's really because you're just drinking more liquid in general, which is making you pee more, just like if you drink more water. More. George, that's it for the news, by the way.
Giving you the news.
And, you know, this is good because my phone is at about, we're only at 17%. I figured out, I was really smart today. I just dropped that brightness on the phone. It's saving my battery life.
Smart.
Yeah, especially when you never charge your phone to begin with.
Well, I charge mine because I'm a grown-up and I know better. So, no big deal.
Such a jerk.
No big deal on my side. Shout-outs. You got any shout-outs, Greg?
Who do I have shout-outs for? You know, shout-outs to everybody that wished me a happy birthday yesterday. I'm not going to say your name, but you know who you are, and you most likely don't listen to the podcast because I keep my friends and my fame separate. But, you know, shout out to you, George. Shout out to you and T-Money for the happy birthday yesterday. Shout out to Anthony and Earl and my other group chat, you know. I don't have my friends on the same group chat. I always find that very interesting. We might go finna pop a bottle coming up this week. So shout out to me for using my red shirt properly, being 46. Shout out to my moms for calling me on the phone yesterday and singing happy birthday like she always does. That's her thing, is to sing happy birthday to me every year.
Yeah, we talked about that right before she called you.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass. shout out to you for talking about my moms. And but obviously shout out to my family. I had a good time kicking it yesterday with them for the birthday. Even had a great time arguing at dinner. It was fun.
Oh, that's good. That's always good.
Somebody's got
to
do it.
Definitely shout out to your birthday. I'm glad you're old and older than me.
Thank you.
I also, the public can't see this, but I'm wearing a local hat and I got the tank on because I got to flex these guns for Greg.
Are you okay? I thought you were stretching. Jelly. I thought your shoulders were sore.
Yeah, jelly. Showing these guns. This is Threads of Envy is the outfit I got on today, but I also contributed to a brand new Vegas-based company for clothing, and it is called Vegas Built. And the two proprietors of this business, Shoochuck and Gabe, that's not Yanti, it's a different Gabe. But I went ahead and got a hoodie because I love hoodies. And I asked him, I said, hey, does your hoodie 2XL fit a full size male? And Gabe said,
Don't worry. Define full size.
A man, a grown man, a healthy American man with a gorgeous beard. And he's like, look, if it doesn't fit, you must have quit. And he said he would hook me up with something. So we'll see. But I support the crew. I thought it was kind of a cool design. We'll see if we post it on social or whatever, but the image of it is for locals by locals, and it says 702, which 702. Oh,
they're O facing you.
Yeah, they're O facing on the hoodie. So
I like it.
I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking at their stuff right now. They got some pretty cool stuff on here.
Yeah. So when we're ready, I mean, we're hoping for the same support because when JTD drops all of our merch ideas.
I mean, listen, it's going to be ugly, guys.
We're probably going to need to buy out a Walmart so we can house all the inventory because coming in, going out, we're going to need a lot of, you know, storage space because the demand is going to be so real. Shout out to Vegas Bill.
When can I buy this stuff?
Right now.
Okay. Just making sure.
My hoodie's on the way.
I ended up on a landing page and then it took me to the shopping page, which is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to buy something.
My hoodie is in North Carolina right now.
That's too far for me.
It'll be here on the 28th. It'll be here in 4 days.
I don't order East Coast. I don't order East Coast hoodies.
Well, Gregor. Oh, I can hear somebody using the microwave.
Yeah, don't worry if we're podcasting. We will come down here and start a beeping and a cooking. So it is what it is.
You got somebody, all the noises.
How do you use the microwave and it sound like a calculator?
I'm just doing my math, Dad.
God,
that's great.
All right, guys. I'm done.
Hey, have a good week, everyone.
George, you have a good week too, by the way.
Oh, Westside.
All right. Love you too.
Later. Thank you for listening to another amazing episode of Just the Drip. You could follow and tag us on social media at It's Just the Drip. Tell everyone to search and subscribe to Just the Drip on iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Cast, or any other of your favorite podcasting apps. Have a great week, and don't forget to keep dripping.